What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. Game Saturday, 3:30. Kickoff time here on Sports Radio 610. Seth and I have you for Texans Countdown, 12:30. Texans Countdown. The big watch there and a big watch party at the Rustic. If you're a Texan fan, you're looking to watch with other Texan fans. I know there's a big watch party. The team's having a watch party at the Rustic. The team is doing the send-off tomorrow at the stadium at noon when the buses leave. So if you want to wave to the team, send them off in style, be part of that, hang out with some other Texan fans and take the rest of the day off tomorrow, I would
say. In 2019, they had a watch party at the Rustic for the Chiefs divisional round game.
Yep.
And it was fun. I was there for the first half. And it was a lot of fun. It was a really cool environment. I don't know what it was like in the environment in the second half, because I left. I watched the second half at home. And when I, because I was, I mean, hey, it's 24-0. It'll be no big, well.
At halftime, it wasn't.
Right, yeah. I think when it was 24-0, it was like, all right, I'm going to listen on the radio and get home by halftime.
Yeah.
And
this is your fault.
It was a miserable drive home.
We now know whose fault it was that they gave up the 24-0 lead. It was Seth.
I remember walking out to the parking lot, getting in my car, just figuring out this is going to be an awesome drive to my place, and then it's just going to be nothing. But no, it wasn't that
way. Can you imagine getting in your car? Like, it's 24-0. You get in your car, and like 24-0, and you're listening to the game. Commercial comes on, you're like, I'm going to listen to a little music for a little bit, and then you can just kind of forget about the game. That happens sometimes. Even a playoff game, you probably wouldn't, but like a regular season game, you get in, you're like, oh yeah, it's right there, winning. I forgot to flip it back over. I was enjoying this, you know, hip-hop or classic rock I was listening to, and you flip back, you're gone for 15 minutes, and you flip back over, and it's 28-24 Chiefs.
Sean, it was the exact same feeling I had when, I tried to just stay away from following my investments closely. Like, a lot of times, I would just kind of reallocate once a year, and in 2008, I was like, all right, time to reallocate. Whoa, hey, who stole all my money?
Yeah.
Dude. What the hell's going on here?
Oh, my God.
Hey.
Oh, my God. Don't talk about that ever again. Like,
that was the Great Recession.
Yes.
Sean, that was the beginning of the Great Recession. The loss to the Chiefs was the beginning of the Great Texans recession.
That's true. That's 100% true. Yes.
It just felt like, oh, my gosh. I don't even know if, like, hey, maybe David Culley can resurrect this economy.
Right. No. Well, fortunately, we've got better financial advisors now. For the Texans, you know, like for that analogy, like now things are good. They're trending in the right direction. I feel like we're holding on to some good stocks.
There are a lot of good financial advisors that get fired during the Great Recession for
fair.
No fault of their own.
Fair.
I feel all those guys, like people who are angry that their financial advisor didn't just somehow guide them through. There's the most cladic. Yeah, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm gonna, it's a little scar tissue here.
I can tell.
Yeah.
So my
joints are popping.
So my question is, to your point, we know this version of the Texans headed to Kansas City for this game is better than the versions of the Texans that came after that last Kansas City loss. They've improved for sure. This version going up to Kansas City versus last year's version going up to Baltimore. If you can tap into a year ago and recall how we felt. Last year was a lot of found money and gravy and like, wow, we didn't even expect to be here kind of stuff.
So right.
The vibe is different. Is the team better, though, going into Kansas City? Is this a better team?
The defense is better.
Substantially better, I would say.
In terms of especially the ability to just take the ball away and to you know, make some plays that could really help in ailing offense. As far as offensively, I'd say they're on the sum total of it over the second half of the season, they've been a worse offense than they were last year.
Yes.
And they weren't actually a good offense last year. They were a promising offense.
Yeah.
That's been the really disturbing part of all of it. Do you recall what the spread was going into the Ravens game?
It was like 10, I think. I'll look it up.
It was pretty
like this. And for those who don't know, this spread, when I last checked this morning, Seth, the spread was 8.5. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of settled into that 8-9. It's not going to get under a touchdown. It's not going to get over 10. It's going to hover around 8 or 9 probably all week long.
I do feel, at the very least, I think this Texans, let's start with a very low standard.
Okay.
I think this Texans team is much better equipped to not get blown out in the divisional round the way they did last year.
That's a start.
Partly because because of the team they're playing, too.
Yes.
I think Baltimore just simply has more ability to blow teams out right now if they keep playing the way they were in the regular season, as we have experienced.
Indeed.
But I think I feel less confident that the Texans offense can scrap their way into a performance, even despite last week, and it was really, really good. I credit the offensive line for doing some of the good things they did. There are a lot of good things. I don't feel confident right now that they can build their way back into it. I guess the part that bothers me the most is that after the Ravens game, we saw that clearly they needed to bolster their interior offensive line. A lot of our listeners were really upset that it wasn't aggressively addressed in the offseason. I wasn't asleep at the switch, but I thought, well, you know, they feel like they like the future of Juice Scruggs. They see something in Kenyon Green, all of that. And I was probably I definitely was way too patient with all of that because it remains an issue. So when it comes to what can the Chiefs do to the Texans offense and how can they really screw up their day, it's almost the exact same issue that it was last year versus the Ravens. We left that Ravens game, we thought, I think probably after the Ravens game last year, even though it was a really embarrassing loss, you probably felt a lot like what the Chargers feel like now, which is, all right, yeah, that sucked and all, but you know what? That we're probably ahead of schedule.
Year
from
one,
where we thought they'd be.
New coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And next year, of course we'll be better next year. So offensively, I don't feel much different than I did going into that Ravens game.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's a very similar group that's going into this game, except you've got Joe Mixon at running back instead of Devin Singletary at running back.
Right, and the same issue last year was, you only had Nico Collins out there. If only you had Tank Dell.
Yeah.
And, you know, Robert Woods is your second guy. Like, what are you going to do? That's what it was last year.
Yeah, Mechie actually had his best game as a pro, other than the Detroit game this year, his best game to that point in that Baltimore playoff game. He was actually pretty good in that game.
So, that's the difference this year is, like, okay, now Mechie is the guy where you're kind of like, oh, this is our second guy, and Robert Woods is the guy that is also there, but it's not your premier wide receiving group.
No.
It feels very, very similar to last year.
9.5.
I'm less worried about a blowout just because the Chiefs' offense doesn't present the same type of challenge as the Ravens' offense.
Yeah, I'm more confident in this team solely based on the ceiling this defense has.
Yeah,
you know, like that defense last year was improved for sure. Like everything was improved over the previous year. Like you couldn't find a stat, offensive or defensive, in that Lovie Smith year that the Texans were even below average at. Like they were at the bottom of the league in everything. So the defense was expectedly improved last year with D'Amico Ryans as a coach and with an influx of talent and so forth. This defense, like the ceiling for this defense is, if they play to that ceiling for the rest of the postseason, is they can win the Super Bowl. You can win the Super Bowl with this defense and with the offense playing average, just not turning the ball over. You know,
I mean, the biggest thing is last year they were the Texans were six. They had the 16th most interceptions in the league. This year they were second in interceptions.
Yeah,
the Vikings really pulled away at the end. They had because the Texans and the Vikings were kind of right up there at 1 and 2 for a while. The Vikings ended up with 24 interceptions. The Texans with 19.
Well, I guess the big difference would be then, because so they were middle of the pack in interceptions last year. They're near the top of the pack. But last year they were at or near the top in turnover margin. And I think that's the difference this year is that, yeah, they're intercepting all these passes. You know, they're forcing all these turnovers. But they ain't near the top of the league in turnover margin anymore because CJ's thrown 12 interceptions this year. 13 now with the playoff interception there, you know. So he's got to protect the football. By the way, 9.5 was the spread last year going into Baltimore. So it's a similar it would be a similar upset, you know, in terms of just the overall.
If they pulled it off.
Yeah.
I think the gamblers and hence Sean T. Pendergast really like the yards per play.
Yes.
Last year, the Texans defense was 15th in yards per play.
Mm-hmm.
They allowed 5.2 yards per play.
Yeah.
This year, I believe they were in the top three of yards per play.
Okay.
It's just like that's just on a and well, it meets the eyeball test on a down by down basis. They were fourth in yards.
Well,
per play.
And that they're fourth in yards per play, and they give up the most chunk play near the most chunk. Like if they could eliminate the chunk plays, we are talking about a I won't say historic because you got to win big games. You got to get further than the divisional round. But they're bringing a lot of these guys back next year and the year after that, man. Like their nucleus is pretty built with this thing right now, and the head coach ain't going anywhere. And that's the biggest thing out of all this, you know? So, wow, that surprises me that they're that good in yards per play, just given all the chunk plays that they give up.
Well, but it's the chunk plays, like, you know, I just kind of casually throw out there. They're really, really good 95% of the time.
Yeah.
I don't know what the actual number or percentage would be. They're very, very good on a down-in, down-out basis.
No doubt.
It's just these huge chunk plays that they allow, these glitches, which isn't, you know, a complete fluke. Some of the being good on the 95% of the plays is because you're playing aggressively in certain situations.
Yeah.
It's when
it's correlated.
That aggressiveness does you in. And I'm not even talking about blitzing or anything, but just on an individual level.
Yeah.
Sometimes those, you know, if Kamari Lassiter as a rookie cornerback bites on a double move, hey, it works out a lot of the times when he's aggressive like that. But when he gets burned by a double move, it's not so hot.
Right. Yeah, like how you're wired is never perfect, you know, and that's one of the glitches in how they're wired.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So will this be the last year? And maybe I'm just injecting my opinion into this. I personally feel, Seth, that if they go up to Kansas City, and unless they somehow blow it, unless they have a 24-0 lead and lose 30-27, to me, if this is a close game, if they go up there and they're trading blows with Kansas City and it comes down to the end of the fourth quarter, you know, team that has the ball last wins, and it just so happens that it's Mahomes that has the ball last, and that's how the season ends, I view this as a successful season. Overall, like you won the division again, you won 10 games, you blew out As an underdog, you blew out a wild card opponent at home again, and you went up to Kansas City and you almost killed the King. I'm curious what other people think, because I know there's going to be people that are like, no, the expectation was to get further than this. It's just with all the injuries, I feel like the expectations changed somewhere along the way.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, and that's where it gets dicey when you start talking about, was it a failure of a season? Was it successful? You could come up with 2,900 different definitions for what success is. Yeah. So you're going to have succeeded in some areas. You're going to have failed in other areas. I think for me, it won't have been successful in that you did not see any progression or development, at least statistically, out of your quarterback. Yeah. And that the offense, in a lot of ways, feels like it took a step back. You're stagnant at the offensive line. You're stagnant at the quarterback position. Yes, the injuries matter. And I would excuse it because of injuries more easily if they had ever looked like a genuinely good offense when they had their receivers, even just two of them. You know, hey, Nico Collins and Tank Dell in their second year if they're both healthy, or Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs on the field together. Mm-hmm. You don't, even without all three of them, you added Joe Mixon as a running back, and there was no part of Joe Mixon that looked like, oh, you know, he's physically starting to degrade or something.
Yeah.
It just was not, given the talent level on the offense, they took a step backwards, and that's bad.
Yeah.
It was a failure offensively, unless they continue this momentum from the last week's game. If something genuinely clicked,
right,
then that might change everything.
Right. Obviously, there's still games to be played here. They've still got time for it to click.
Yeah, so I'll give the offense, if they were to end, even with a competitive game against the Chiefs, but the offense doesn't really produce, yeah, they would end up, as, if we're just doing pass-fail, it was a fail for the offense this season.
Yeah, and I guess maybe this is a separate question. You know, whether it's a success or failure, that's just report card stuff. It's really comes down more to two things. How do you feel going into next season? Like, what's your hope level? I'm talking from a fan perspective. Like, how do you feel about the direction of this team, the direction of the quarterback, the direction of the head coach, but really of the overall franchise? And number two, what's your confidence level in Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans to fix the things that you're talking about, right?
Right.
What are their resources to do it, and what are their capabilities of doing it?
I think then where you get into is, are you stuck in kind of a purgatory of the first few years of Gary Kubiak, where you're making progress offensively, and yet by 2010, what are you going to do about this defense? Like, you just, it's not, why? And at least at that point, they had, you know, dabbled and made a couple of changes as a defensive coordinator. But it would feel like we're just stuck here. Like, what are we really going to accomplish unless we figure out how to do things on defense back then? And now it's the opposite problem, which would be, all right, you're going to keep rolling with Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's going to be different? What's going to change? How is next year going to be different? There'll be a lot of malaise. And I think right now, if I had to handicap it, feels like about 78% chance that Bobby's still the offensive coordinator.
It's the favorite for sure, I think.
Yeah, so there's going to be a whole lot of hand-wringing all offseason long if that's the case. And it's funny because I think very few people, other than people who are going to be trolling for comments on the internet, I don't think anybody has lost faith in D'Amico Ryans,
mm-mm,
but it would be like, okay, well, what are you doing about the offense?
Mm-hmm.
Because you did some things last year to fix the offense, and it ended up being worse. So what are we really doing here?
Yeah. So far, the early return on the text page, people are not grading as kindly, hypothetically grading kindly as I am right now. Losing this weekend would be par for the course. Well, that's actually literally true. I mean, they're 0-5 in the divisional round. Like, that's not even shade. Like, they have yet to win one of these games. I think they can do it. I think they can do it.
This team is like back in the heyday of as the Astros were starting to turn it around, where they had all these quadruple A players, guys that would get called, John Singleton, guys would just be destroying triple A,
mm-hmm,
and then they'd get up to the majors and fall apart, and you're like, what the hell is going on here? That's it. That's the Texans between the wild card and the divisional rounds.
Where they are.
They destroy the wild card round.
They are, yeah.
They
yeah.
do not. They take no prisoners.
Yes. Take that.
Then they get up to the majors in the divisional round. They're like, oh, dang it.
Hopefully not this weekend.
So this needs to be the Carlos Correa year.
This does.
Where one of your guys who's been destroying the minors actually comes up and really shows out.
Yes. All right.
Which, I guess Springer would be the first, yeah.
Which teams in the NFL right now are going to be in the QB market this offseason? How glad are we that we are not one of these? I've got seven teams, I think, that are going to be in that market. So we'll go through these, take a look outside of Houston for a little bit. We'll do that coming up next.